Meanwhile, the protests, welcome back to the No Panic Zone here on the Steve Cooper Show. The protests, good news for CNN as they drew their largest crowd in years. CNN executives baffled by a large crowd outside of their offices on Saturday, not having seen an audience of that size in many, many years. Executives quickly added the hundreds of people outside of their offices. It more than doubled their ratings for the day. "Oh, it's happening," said the station's founder, Bob CNN. "Brian Anderson, come quick. We're finally drawing crowds. Years of hard work paying off." Brian Stelter muttered, "No social distancing or masks, though. We'll take what we can get at this point." It's ultra. It's Babylon B, of course. But there's something else that has not been said. No social distancing. Where are the masks? Oh, Lord. It'll be a coronavirus death sentence for all. What we should be doing is opening up, of course, but that's a story for a different day, or today, or any damn day. But apparently the protesters don't need masks or hand sanitizer. No, 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 they just need gasoline and a match so they can set everything on fire. Yeah, like the 3rd Precinct Police Station in Minneapolis burned a $25 million building. Torched. Thank you, Jacob Fry. Mr. Mayor, you're doing just a hell of a job. Way to back up and let the terrorists take over the city. Let the terrorists take over. That's what's just insane about all of this. Let the terrorists take over the city and then let it burn to the ground. Meanwhile, National Security Advisor Robert O'Brien asking questions about the officer involved in this case with George Floyd. The reason being he had numerous violations. Numerous violations for violence and aggressive behavior. Why was he still working? That was the question, but the bottom line is that, well, it must be stopped. Let's go to bite number 3 with Robert O'Brien, the NSA.
Well, first of all, I want to separate the violence from the peaceful protesters. One of the things that makes this country great, as you know, Jake, is the fact that when something horrific happens, like the killing of George Floyd, Americans can go to the street and protest and petition their government for redress. And we want to know why, you know, that officer who had so many complaints against him was allowed to stay on the force, why local prosecutors and the mayor and police commissioner didn't do anything about it, and how this happened. And so peaceful protesters are part of a great American tradition. What we don't want to see are the armed protesters, those committing violence, those who were throwing bricks at Secret Service officers and park police last night in front of the White House, those who have been burning down our cities and attacking the most vulnerable minority communities. And we're going to get to the bottom of it. And I think we're going to, you know, the president and the attorney general want to know from Director Wray what the FBI has been doing to track and dismantle and surveil and prosecute Antifa. And if that hasn't been happening, we want to know what the plan is going forward.
Yeah, what is the plan going forward? You know, and it's all true. We need to know why this officer was on the force. He deserves due process, but the video, it's very hard to watch. It's gut-wrenching to the point that the man has no consciousness. He loses consciousness, and then he has no pulse, and then, of course, he dies. And I've listened to a number of different police and law enforcement professionals with a lot of experience saying, no, that's not how you go about doing that. You don't kneel on the guy's neck, on his throat that way for 8 or 10 minutes straight without giving him a chance to. He just wanted to stand up. He's already handcuffed. What difference does it make? The Department of Justice, though, moving forward in response to all of this, is going to treat Antifa violence as domestic terrorism, as it should. The George Soros-financed terrorists need to be treated as such. By the way, CNN's Van Jones, not exactly the hard right commentator, says that white liberal Hillary Clinton supporters are far more dangerous than the Ku Klux Klan. Amen. Finally, a liberal that understands, because the Ku Klux Klan, not exactly a rising force in this country. The Southern Poverty Law Center, as discredited as it may be, and Morris Dees, who was thrown out, of course, for getting handsy with the staff, you know, in the world of the far left, the Me Too movement only extends so far. Morris Dees gets booted out of there. But as discredited as the Southern Poverty Law Center may be, they went and have done surveys for my entire life about the number of hate groups in America. And when it came to the Ku Klux Klan, they pushed everybody they possibly could in this little faction here and that little faction. They didn't come up with 8,000 members of the Ku Klux Klan nationwide in a country with 330 million people. The Ku Klux Klan is not exactly a rising power in America. It's non-existent. And if you didn't see it on Netflix or wherever else you might come across it, you wouldn't even know it existed. Most people would never even know it existed. And so when Van Jones says a white liberal Hillary Clinton supporter could pose a bigger threat to African Americans than the Ku Klux Klan, he said that while discussing the state of relations in America between the races following those protests in Minneapolis. He's exactly right. It's not the racist white person who is in the Ku Klux Klan that we have to worry about. It's the white liberal Hillary Clinton supporter walking her dog in Central Park who would tell you right now, oh, I don't see race. Race is no big deal to me. I see all people the same. I give to charities. But the minute she sees a black man who she does not respect or who she has a slight thought against, she weaponized race like she had been taught by the Aryan Nation. A Klan member could not have been better trained to pick up her phone and tell the police it's a black man. The most racist people I've ever met in my life are all white and all Democrats. That's my experience. The most racist people I have ever met are all white and all Democrats. I don't know what your experience is. That's mine. Through my entire life, they claim to be diverse and looking out for this and that and everything. But the bottom line, when you take away and rip back the curtain, well, it's not exactly what they told you it was, now is it? And the answer is absolutely not. It's not what they told you it is. All right, it's 25 after. Quick break on the program today. Of course, we'll have Rich Studley here. We'll have Professor Alan Sachs here. I'm not going anywhere. You're kind of stuck with me for the day. It's the Steve Rivers Show in the No Panic Zone. Back after this.